think there's a couple of things. It's not paying its contributors. It's giving away information for free, which I think is a bad thing. And it's promoting anonymity. Plus, it undermines the very premise of edited, curated media, which I think is a bad thing also.
Now, the first point there, giving away information for free, why do you think that's a problem?
Well, I think that it's a problem if you want to put food on the table for your family, or you want to pay your rent, or you want to clothe your children. Just as you're paid as a radio presenter and I'm paid as a writer, I think that information workers on the internet should be paid for their labor.
That those who are doing it because they're dedicated amateurs, even if the results
are
good results.
The whole idea of a dedicated amateur, I don't know what that means, it's a romantic notion. I think a lot of people are doing it because they've probably got nothing better to do. A lot of people are doing it because they're unemployed. Some people may be doing it for noble reasons. But as I said in response to your original question, I don't think that Wikipedia is the devil. I think it has a lot of potential. But to realize that potential, it has to pay its contributors. It has to turn itself into a viable media business. And at the moment, it isn't. At the moment, by failing to pay its contributors, it's not inviting in, I think, the best and the brightest. And it's shrouding the business, where it's not really a business, it's shrouding the website, I think, in this sort of aura of self-sacrifice, which I think is very unhealthy.
Because if you're not paying your contributors, their work is less professional, they don't have the same incentive to be professional, to be thorough with the facts?
I think it's turning the knowledge business into a church, which is a bad thing. It's encyclopedias, books have been a place where educated people sell their knowledge in the same way as a hospital is a place where doctors sell their special knowledge, or a law office is a place where lawyers sell their office. And I don't think that a knowledge worker should be altruistic. I think that's inappropriate. Shouldn't give their labor away for free. There's no reason to do that. And I don't understand how they're supposed to make a living. Ultimately, what it means is the kind of people who contribute to Wikipedia are either wealthy software barons who've got nothing better to do with their time, or unemployed people, or increasingly, I think, corrupt people who use it to pursue their own particular agendas. Doesn't mean that everything on Wikipedia is not good. I think it's potentially quite a good resource. I use it. It needs to still be treated with a pinch of salt because it's not edited.
What does that mean, having a Wikipedia which is not as good as it should be, or could be if it was more professional? What does that mean for the people who use it?
What that means for the people who use it is that, firstly, it's poorly written. There have been all these studies about whether or not Wikipedia is more or less reliable than professionally edited encyclopedias like the Britannica. My own experience is it's less reliable, but I accept the fact that there are scientific studies which say the reverse. But there's no doubt, at least in my mind, that the quality of the writing is very poor. It all reads as if it was written by an 11-year-old. Or at least a crowd of 11-year-olds. The grammar, the punctuation, often the spelling is wrong, the paragraph structure. It's poorly constructed. And secondly, it reflects the interests of the kinds of people who go on Wikipedia. So, for example, the entries on Star Wars or on internet software or on Google are incredibly long and complicated, sometimes quite good. Whereas the entries on, at least in my view, important historical figures, artists, thinkers, writers, are actually quite small. The reality is it reflects the internet generation. So it's not really objective. It's a mirror of a certain group of people. And for kids who go on it, who know nothing better, who aren't what I would call media literate, I think they're getting a very distorted picture of the world. When kids go on Wikipedia and see long, high, meticulously footnoted entries on Star Wars or on Star Trek, and then short, brief entries on major historical figures, then they get a very peculiar, stilted view of history. So it's, in my view, again, inadvisable for parents or teachers to allow their children to go on Wikipedia, or certainly cite that information in essays and in homework. And increasingly, in America, universities and schools are actually outlawing the use of Wikipedia.
Is that the only aspect of the internet that bothers you, or is it just the beginning?
Well, Wikipedia. You mean the principle of a non-mediated information website?
Well, I guess the whole way that information is now, and what we call news or opinion, is disseminated through the internet. And whether that has implications.
Yeah, I wrote my book, Cult of the Amateur, in 2007. It came out in defense of traditionally curated media, in defense of a media with gatekeepers, of people who would check facts, who would improve the quality of work, who would act as gatekeepers, keeping people out rather than allowing anyone to author content. And I think I've been pretty much proved right. I mean, my argument was that these new so-called businesses weren't viable, that no one would pay for this content. And I think, as I said, I've been proved right. Newspapers now in America are going under. There are very few viable alternatives in business terms. I think the internet's great in terms of its irreverence, its energy, its incredibly dynamic medium, but it's not coherent in business terms. And it's not supporting a new class of information workers or of artists. People aren't able to earn their living. So for better or worse, everyone is an amateur. For me, a professional is a good thing because they're paid for their work, whether they are a knowledge worker or a creative individual, whether they're a musician, a filmmaker, or an academic. And I'm very fearful of a world where everyone gets turned into an amateur, whether or not they like the romantic notion of amateurism.
I guess one of the things in the media now is the rise of opinions. And a lot of it's not just amateurs, though, that come forth with opinions. You might get a lot of amateurs blogging, but you get a lot of people now in mainstream newspapers paid to write their opinions, and fewer people paid to check the facts.
Yeah, and I think one of the weaknesses in my argument, at least in my book, is that I fail to acknowledge the fact that a lot of mainstream media is falling into itself the cult of the amateur. So I'm certainly not going to defend newspapers when all they do is focus on opinion and forget about the facts, forget about investigative journalism. So absolutely, I'm certainly not going to defend mainstream media. Although on the other hand, I think that there is an important place in media for informed opinion, for coherently well-argued positions. For a polemic. I mean, my book's a polemic. It's not based on fact. It's an argument. But that doesn't mean that all media should be turned into a polemic. One of the problems with the internet is that everyone imagined, people like Marshall McLuhan, the visionaries of the digital world, that it would become a global village where everyone would be able to share information. It would become more open to reflect the supposedly open architecture of the internet. But actually, the reverse has happened. The internet's increasingly an echo chamber. We go on the internet to confirm what we already think. Now, I don't think that's only a problem with the internet. I think that's increasingly a broader cultural problem. You find it also on television in America with networks like Fox and MSNBC, where people simply go on to confirm what they already think. But it is a big problem, which I think is being which is most in evidence on the internet. On the internet, people don't discuss things. They simply go on to confirm what they already think.
Oh, you've touched on something I was going to ask you, which is whether the internet is merely reflecting what is a cultural phenomenon beyond the media, and that is that we live in a much more of a me generation, and we all have our opinions, and they matter more. An opinion sells papers, and we want to read other people's opinions, and that's just part of the culture we live in.
Absolutely. The internet as technology is a mirror. It reflects our culture, and the technology wasn't just delivered like a newborn baby by a stork. It came out of a specific cultural environment in Northern California. Some people have argued that the internet is the most concrete legacy of the 1960s. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. What you say is absolutely right. The internet reflects the me generation. It reflects an increasingly individualized culture. It reflects the crisis of authority and the breakdown of traditional organizations. So you can't blame technology for that. You can't blame the internet for that. The internet is both a cause and perhaps more importantly, a consequence of deeply rooted social change. What we're talking about really, I think, is the sort of socio-cultural transformation from the industrial to the digital age. So this is extremely important. It's not some ephemeral event that has no meaning, and that's why people feel so strongly about it. That's why my book has been controversial, and that's why some of the books that support the internet are very evangelical. They're not just about technology, they're about culture and society and identity.
Because having spoken to somebody not too long ago who studied the Wikipedia, and he's definitely a supporter of it, there was no doubt about that in the interview. One, I guess that the question is whether perhaps you're not giving Wikipedia enough time. I mean, it's a new medium, a very new part of the internet, and the internet itself is very new. Will it not mature as it gets older?
I hope so. I mean, I have to admit that I've changed my opinion slightly about Wikipedia since I wrote my book. I certainly have warmer feelings towards it. I think it does have some potential. I admire Jimmy Wales, who founded it. I think he's a smart guy. But I think the problem with Wikipedia, and this is a problem I think that Wales is encountering, is that the tail is wagging the dog. What you find at Wikipedia is that the hardcore contributors, who in reality are only a very small group of anonymous people, are actually controlling the agenda. I think that Wales would like to turn it into a real business. It doesn't have to be a for-profit business, but it could be a non-profit with advertising. Could be structured in a way where people were paid for their work. It could be structured in a way where it'd be easier to find the identity of the contributors. But I think the inmates, unfortunately, at Wikipedia are running the asylum. Having said that, it's still, I think, a valuable resource. It's an excellent first stop. When I say that children shouldn't be able to cite it in their work, I wouldn't argue that children shouldn't be able to use it. I would encourage anyone to go to it as a first resource. It's a first stop. It's easy, it's convenient, it's ubiquitous. You enter any word into Google, and the Wikipedia entry is likely to be one of the first 10 entries, one of the first 10 links. But it should be a first stop. It needs to be treated with a degree of skepticism. It needs to be understood as a place without editors, without order, and therefore often slightly unreliable, generally poorly written, and, as I said, reflecting the interests of its contributors, who tend to be young, technocentric. Having said all that, it's still not a bad resource. I wouldn't want to ban it or anything like that.
What do you think is going to happen then to the professional fact gatherer? Whether it is a researcher for an encyclopedia like Britannica or a news reporter, do you think they're going to continue to be pushed back by the new amateur, the blogger, the enthusiast, the opinion writer?
Well, I don't like the term blogger. I think it's lost any kind of meaning. I think the most successful bloggers now are professionals. So the most trafficked so-called blogs tend to be now electronic magazines. And they're bringing in significant amount of advertising revenue, and they're paying their contributors. I think in the long run, hopefully, what will happen with Wikipedia or a rival business, something like Wikipedia, is that they will figure out a way to pay their contributors, and they will figure out a way to turn it into a more viable business. And in that sense, if that happens, then it'll be actually a pretty good resource. You're seeing some interesting experiments with Wikipedia. One thing that's happening in Germany, for example, is that the media company Bertelsmann has come to an arrangement with the German edition of Wikipedia where they are taking some of the leading entries on Wikipedia, editing it, and bringing it out as a book. And the revenue from that book is being shared between Bertelsmann and Wikipedia. That kind of hybrid experiment, I think, is very healthy. You're seeing reforms within Wikipedia that I think mean that it's turning into a more traditional media organization. They've introduced recently a reform whereby there are now editors for live biographies. So if someone's alive, certain individual, in a high-profile individuals, politicians, movie stars, artists, will have to go through a layer of editors. So I think the powers that be on Wikipedia are slowly but surely coming round to the realization. But if you're going to have a truly viable media business, an information business, a fact business, you have to have intermediaries. You can't do away with everyone that lies between the author and the reader and expect the thing to be reliable and viable and work.
I can imagine some...
The boring answer to all that is that the future of Wikipedia is a hybrid of old and new media.
Because I can imagine some enthusiasts of the Wikipedia model we have now, which is that if it becomes professional, it becomes a successful company, then along comes one of the big corporates, Fox or Mr. Turner or whoever, Mr. Murdoch, buys it up and it loses its independence, loses its democracy.
Well, I'm not sure if that's the case. I reject that notion that large corporations, by definition, ruin media. The Wall Street Journal is quite a viable newspaper. It's clear on its position. It's owned by Murdoch. MySpace is owned by Murdoch. It seems to still be a very popular haunt of teenagers. He hasn't destroyed the editorial autonomy of it. So I don't agree with that. I think what's happened is that you have this hardcore cult of the amateur, which is a sort of a legacy of a deeply rooted anti-capitalism, which suggests that any kind of business around media, by definition, is corrupt. And I think that's not true. It's not true in publishing. Again, Murdoch, who is universally vilified now, has become, historically at least universally vilified, has become perhaps the last defender of mainstream media. He owns HarperCollins. Again, they publish a lot of very fine books which don't only reflect Rupert Murdoch's political or cultural position. So I reject that idea that large corporations ruin media. It doesn't mean that I support the corporatization of media. I don't necessarily think it's a good thing. I still think the best newspapers are probably owned by families. And I would prefer publishers and record labels and movie studios to be owned by smaller concerns. But the fact that they are owned by multinationals, by larger corporations, doesn't by definition mean they're bad, corrupt, self-interested, only publishing or broadcasting stuff that reflects their own agenda. It's a very childish view, in my opinion.
One of the things that's interesting in terms of journalism is how reporters now are often outnumbered by public relations people. And one of the arguments I've heard for going amateur in terms of news gathering is, well, you'd have more of an army then. And, for example, recently people have been saying, well, what happened in Iran recently with people reporting on Facebook or whatever, what was happening there is an example of the amateur doing good journalistic work.
Well, firstly, I reject the idea of this so-called citizen journalist. I think a good citizen is not necessarily a good journalist. Certainly a good journalist doesn't have to be a good citizen. Some of the best journalists in history have been alcoholics, people with probably rather distasteful political positions or complete lack of interest in politics in their community. It doesn't make them bad journalists. I think you're wrong on Iran. I think what you'd find if you looked at it carefully is that the Iranian situation was initially embraced by the digital community because supposedly now everyone was able to express themselves. But in retrospect, given the failure of the Iranian reform movement, it seems as if the regime have actually been using this media to pursue their own interests, and it's become less and less clear who's putting out the tweets, who's putting out the blogs, who's really behind them. And the problem with this kind of media is when you don't have fact checkers, when you don't have gatekeepers, when you don't have curators, you never know who to believe. You've got to have the middleman if we're to have a reliable media, whether it's in Iran, whether it's in Russia, whether it's in China, whether it's in the United States.
Are there enough good middlemen and women at the moment reporting around the world?
I think there are. I think that journalists are actually doing an increasingly good job. They're under fire. I think the one thing that journalists need to learn is not to be too humble. I think one of the unfortunate cultural consequences of this new culture war in America is that journalists have become too humble. They're continually bowing down to the opinion, to public opinion. One guy in particular is this guy called Dan Gilmore. He wrote a book called We the Media, which epitomizes this rather ugly humility, in my opinion, where he continually says as a journalist to his audience, you the community know more than me. You will inform me. And that's not true. It's rather like going into a doctor's surgery and the doctor saying to you, the patient know more than I do, or the same in a court of law. If you undermine professionalism, if you undermine your own professionalism, if you think it cool or appropriate to articulate your own ignorance, then you are committing suicide as a profession. And if journalists, whether it's in the United States or New Zealand or Europe, go out and tell everyone that they know nothing, then they're finished as a profession. Doesn't mean that they have to be arrogant in a distasteful way, but they do need to remind the public of how hard it is to be a professional journalist, the kind of skill and talent and training and work it requires.
Andrew, it's been great talking to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good, thank you. That was fun.